It is so very good to see all of you back again this evening. My evening sermons are lessons from the Old Testament. As I told you, I was going to begin this series some time ago. After I did my sermons from Isaiah, I had a lot of you approach me, thanking me for doing sermons from the Old Testament. And so I am selecting sections from the Old Testament that I think have very strong applicable lessons for us today. That being said, our lesson this evening comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, thinking about the book of Deuteronomy, if you don't know this, Moses is about to die. And he has been leading the children of Israel now for 40 years. And they're getting ready to go into the promised land. But he's not going to go in with them. And so the beginning of Deuteronomy, especially when we get to chapter 6, Moses is trying to tell them what they needed to do as a nation. Once they went in, once they took the promised land, what they needed to do as a nation to keep themselves from going into apostasy, to where God would punish them because of their sin. And so our lesson tonight is going to be a study of physical Israel and what God spoke to physical Israel through Moses, warning them what they needed to beware of, lest they go into apostasy. And we're going to take that information and apply it to spiritual Israel. In Galatians 6 and verse 16, as many walk according to the rule, this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Here, the church is referred to as the Israel of God. One of the things I have learned about the Old Testament is that a lot of what happened to them are lessons that are extremely beneficial for the church today. And we can learn a whole lot about even the history of Christianity by studying the history of Israel. We can study a whole lot about the problems in the history of Christianity by studying the problems of Israel. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." And so what is written here was written as an example for us to learn from today. And so our lesson is very simply going to be studying what Moses said to the children of Israel to hopefully keep them from going into apostasy. The problem is, unfortunately, historically speaking, they didn't do it. And as a consequence of not doing what Moses told them, they did indeed, after one generation, forget God and leave God. So we're starting here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 now, verses 11 through 13. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them." And so here you see the warning at the very beginning. The problem is when they go into the promised land and now they got houses and now they got vineyards and now they got wealth, he says, "And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage." I remember one Sunday morning years ago in 2001. It was after September the 11th. And the reason I remember that particular Sunday is because we had a building full of people. After 9/11, after the two towers came down, literally our building was packed the very next Sunday. And I remember seeing all the people that were there, and I was glad to see them there that day. And this is what I said to them, and they were probably a little surprised that I was that blunt to them. And I said, "I'm glad you're here today. It's a terrible thing that happened just the other day up in New York. I'm glad you're here today. However, how many of you are going to stay? When you start realizing that the terrorists are not going to kill you the next day or the next day, and after you realize everything's going to get back to normal, when things get back to normal, are you going to leave?" And the truth of the matter is, 100% of them, not half, not 75, every single person that was there because of 9/11 left as soon as things got normal. You see, there's a lesson there. And that is, when things are tough sometimes, we realize how important God is in our life, that we need God. You think about even possibly your own prayer life, how many times you go to God praying for things that are very important, problems in your life. God wants you to approach Him with that, yes. However, Moses warns the children of Israel here in Deuteronomy 8, and that is, whenever you get into the promised land that you're going into, and you have houses, because you need to realize at this time they didn't have houses. They lived in basically what they call tabernacles, which is basically a small throw-together building. And so they didn't have houses. But there's going to come a time now you're going to have houses. Not only do you have houses, you're going to have land, and you're going to have vineyards, and you're going to have silver, and you have gold. Now then, when that time comes, you need to be aware that you don't forget God. When you go to the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 6, this is what Hosea has to say. And by the way, if you don't know this, Hosea is the prophet of northern Israel. Before they are taken away into Assyrian captivity, never to return. And this is what Hosea has to say. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. You see, the warning Moses gave back in Deuteronomy 8, exactly what he warned them of is exactly what happened. And it turned out exactly the way he was telling them. Don't let this happen to you. Don't forget God when things start going good in your life. And therein lies the danger in America. I remember years ago when I was a young gospel preacher, we had an older gentleman come and holding a meeting for us. And he said, Wayne, I wish we had a good depression again. And I thought, what? I would never hope to have another depression. That was a difficult time. And he said, yes, it was a difficult time. But during those difficult times, a lot of people realized how much they needed God. We're not going through difficult times, are we? We are living in one of the most affluent times and one of the most affluent nations in the history of mankind. And you need to realize that in and of itself creates a danger within the body of Christ today. And that danger is everything's good. Everything's going fine in my life. God's not really that important. I can take care of it on my own. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 25, is talking about the Lord's Supper here. He says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after his supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. Notice this again, in remembrance of me. As a matter of fact, I think it's written on the front of this little table up here. In remembrance of me. Why did he say that twice, in remembrance of me? Because it is extremely easy to forget. In our American culture, I was talking with someone about this yesterday. When we moved over to Czechoslovakia, we used to have a joke that we hurry up and wait. And that is because they go so slow. And we're Americans and we're ready to get it and do it quickly. And we're on a schedule. And they would kind of just plod along. Well, after you've been in that for 6 years and you come back to America, six months, not 6 years. Thank you, Linda. Whenever she shakes her head, that means I said something wrong. But yes, 6 months. But 6 months was enough. I remember the first time I got in a car driving down the highway. I was terrified. And I remember when I walked in the Walmart Big Supercenter, my wife and I at the same time, we took about 10 steps. We walked in and we froze at the same time. And we just learned, looked at each other and said, I got to get out of here. This thing's too big. Too big, too fast. Now, you may not realize that, but you're in a culture that's going at a breakneck speed. And you have all kinds of responsibilities coming at you. And whenever you were in this culture, this go, 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 do this, do this, do this, juggle, 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 juggle. It is so easy to lose focus and forget God. Why do you think the Lord wants us to assemble on the first day of every week? Because he understands the problem. And the problem is the same problem of physical Israel, and that is that spiritual Israel, in our affluency, with all these things we got to be doing, we forget God and we need to do what? Do this in remembrance of him. We need to bring our mind back to Calvary. We need to bring our mind back to Christ crucified and just focus our mind on what happened there at Calvary for me, the sacrifice that was made for me. I've told you this numerous times. Christ crucified is God crying out to you and all mankind as loudly as he can, I love you. And we need to be sure that we don't forget it. Do not forget God's great love for you. Do not forget Christ crucified and the sacrifice that was made for you. Remember it, and keep coming to services and focusing your mind and bringing the attention back to what's important, and that is God and Christ crucified. Before I read 2 Peter, there's something I want you to observe. There are verses that I'm using in the sermon tonight that have come from 2 Timothy and 2 Peter. Now, this is something I just want you to think about for a second before I give you the answer. What's the common denominator between 2 Peter, 2 Timothy, and Deuteronomy? What is the common denominator between Deuteronomy, 2 Peter, and 2 Timothy? The common denominator is all three of the people who are receiving this revelation are about to die. And Paul has been laboring in the church. And Peter's been laboring in the church. They've given their entire life to it. Moses has been laboring with the children of Israel, giving his entire life to it. And now they're about to be gone. And so you need to realize there's a common message in all three books. A common warning in all three books. Because what was spoken to physical Israel is also spoken to spiritual Israel. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "For this reason I will not be neglect to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Then we get down to chapter 1 and verse 15. "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Three times actually here in the text, Peter, talks to them about, I need to do this to remind you. You already know these things, but I'm going to remind you. And out of that, I'm going to write 2 Peter to you through a revelation of the Holy Spirit. So after I'm dead and gone, to remind you. We human beings are very forgetful. We get caught up in our own world, and it's not on purpose choosing to do this. It's just something that happens. As we get busy and we get comfortable, we start forgetting God. Going back now to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." He goes on further in Deuteronomy 6 and verses 8 through 9. He says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." By the way, we kind of still do this today. When you come into my house, hopefully some of you Saturday, you'll look around and you'll see the scripture just about on every wall. What he's trying to impress upon them here, though, is the word of God, the commands of God that he has given to them in the law of Moses, that they need to keep this in front of their eyes, in their mind always, to where it's always surrounding them, to where it's just a part of their life, and they will not forget the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, now verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And so the first step the children of Israel were warned about was don't forget God, but connected to forgetting God was forgetting the Word of God. The same danger is true today in the body of Christ. Do you know there was a time, a generation ago, when if you attended the Church of Christ at all, it was assumed that you had an extremely amazing working knowledge of the Bible. That you knew the scriptures really well. They may not have agreed with you, but they knew this about you. You know the Bible really good. It's not that way today. To the contrary, it's the opposite. I'm hearing this all across the country from teachers, preachers, elders, members of congregations who are concerned about how there are so many people that are young who have no knowledge of the Bible. And unfortunately, a generation now is here that doesn't know what the Bible says. You need to realize, though, that where that starts is not with the children. Where that starts is with the parents. The parents are the ones that forget the Word of God. The parents are the ones that don't teach the children the Word of God. And so when you get back here to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. One of the things we need to make sure that we do not fall into is that we are not teaching at home and that we are not learning at home. Are you a student of the Bible yourself? Or is this the only time you hear anything about the Bible is when you come here? If this is the only time you hear anything about the Bible, you ought to be ashamed. You need to be opening it up yourself and reading it yourself and studying it yourself and growing in your knowledge of the Word of God to where it's literally dwelling in you richly. Let me give you some more verses on this. And again, notice where this comes from. 2 Timothy. Remember 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, and Deuteronomy, the common denominator. Here is 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let me ask, who's that speaking to? Everybody, isn't it? Every Christian needs to be having the Word of God dwelling in them richly. And again, what happens is when you stop studying and you stop spending time with it, you start going backwards, actually. So, parents, are you growing in your knowledge of the Word of God? Adults, are you growing in your knowledge of the Word of God? Because you need to realize much of where your children are going to be is going to be determined by where you are. Now, going back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Oh. So you need to realize there are things out there that are not true. Do you know how to determine when something is not the truth? The Bible. When I was a young preacher, I bought a lot of books. In my library, I've got shelf after shelf of debate books. And I was young at the time, and again, an older preacher, I guess he was in the 70s, he was holding a meeting for us in Mississippi, and he came in, he saw my library, and he said, Wayne, what you got all these debate books for? And I said, well, I'm going to study them so I'll know what the truth is. And he looked at me like I was an idiot. And he said, son, study the Bible. Just study the Bible. And you'll know when it's not true. Yeah. By the way, I got a lot of debate books. Anybody want to buy them? Never been used. I took his advice and I started studying the Bible. And you know what? I found that to be true. If you will study it, you can rightly divide it. And when someone is teaching something that's not true, a red flag goes and you go, wait a minute. I don't think that's true. However, if you don't know what the Word of God says, you cannot rightly divide the Word of God. When someone is bringing something that is not true, you are unfortunately in a great danger of swallowing it, hook, line, and sinker, because you don't even know what the truth is anymore. Going further with this, again, notice the where this is, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. All right, here he's talking to the evangelist, Timothy. What is the evangelist's responsibility? To preach the word. It is the word that's going to produce your faith. It is the word that I, as an evangelist, am trying to get your head filled with. to where you will understand what the will of God is for you in your life. To where you understand actually what Christianity actually really is, how to become a Christian, how to live the Christian life. But notice what he says after he tells Peter, or Timothy here, to preach the word. Then he comes in with this warning. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Again, notice where this is. 2 Timothy. Paul's about to die. And he's telling Timothy the importance of what to do in the future. You preach the word. Because there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the word of God. They're going to find somebody that will tell them what they want to hear. The danger of people not knowing what the word of God says is that they are easily duped. They're easily to be pulled into false teaching because they do not recognize it's not from God. Not only that, sometimes people don't want to hear the word of God. They know what it says, they just don't like what it says. And so they want to find someone that will tell them what they want to hear. And you do know this. There are preachers out there that will gladly tell you what you want to hear if you will just take care of them. And now this leads to the third point. Going back to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So now we're seeing the third admonition. First, don't forget God. Connected to forgetting God, don't forget the word of God. And third, teach your children the word of God. To what degree do they were to teach them? These people were farmers, folks. I know some of you have worked on farming before, so you know you work from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep. So when do you teach your children? Notice this very closely now. You should talk with them when you sit in your house. Well, even if you're a farmer, you sit in your house sometimes. And that is when you walk by the way. Sometimes you're not working. Sometimes you're walking by the way and your child is there with you. Or when you're lying down, you do go to sleep at your house, don't you? I assume that's where your children live. And when you rise up, you see, before they go to work, you talk to your children. When you're going to bed at night, talk to your children. When you're in the car with your children, you talk to your children. When you're out in the backyard playing with your children, you talk to your children. When you're sitting down at the dinner table, you talk to your children. These people are seizing the moments, what few moments they had in the day with their children. They're seizing those moments to talk to them about God and His Word. Let me show you something here. A big reading, but stay with me. Deuteronomy 6, 20-25. When your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Here he's talking about, again, this is in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, that when you have sons and daughters, you explain to your sons and daughters what happened back in Egypt. Tell them the story of what happened. Tell them about the 10 plagues. Tell them about walking through the Red Sea on dry ground. Tell them what happened in Mount Sinai. Tell them about the manna. Tell them what happened. Verse 23. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteous for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. I know it was a lengthy reading. Do you understand basically what this is talking about? Sit down with your children and explain to them why you do what you do at the Passover. What is Pentecost all about? Why you have this Feast of Tabernacles? Why do you have to have a sacrifice that's without blemish? Why are you doing things the way you're doing them? They needed to spend time with their children explaining to them the commands of God and their relationship with God. If I were going to pick one verse that is one of the most disobeyed verses in the New Covenant, this is it. Ephesians 6:4. And your fathers should not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, if you are a father here this evening, and you have children in your house still, seize the moments with your children to talk to them about God and His great love for them. Talk to them about Christ crucified. Explain to them what it is you believe and why you believe it. Spend time teaching them. You cannot spend enough time with your children and your family. So when you do have those moments, seize them. Love them and teach them. Because I guarantee you, they're going to be told all kinds of ideas out there in the world. And they're going to be bombarded with all kinds of lies at school and through the movies and at school and all kinds of places. They're going to be indoctrinated. They're going to be attacked. And so you have to get them grounded so that when they are out there in the world, they do not absorb all the false doctrines and ideas that are out there. We have lost so many in the body of Christ through the generations because we have assumed knowledge and assumed faith because we brought them to the assembly. That's not going to get it. You have to take the initiative and be the spiritual leader of the family, fathers. And wives, if the fathers don't do it and they're not doing it, you step up. When you go to the book of Proverbs, it talks about the father and the mother teaching children. Seize the moments with your children and teach them. Otherwise, they're going to absorb whatever's out there in the world. They will go out in the world and they will be a vacuum with nothing in there. And the world will fill that vacuum with all kinds of false teachings. And then the fourth thing from Deuteronomy. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them nor show mercy to them. Here Moses is telling the children of Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, you do not absorb these people and become friends with them. You go in there and you destroy them. And you destroy their religion. And you completely wipe it out. You have nothing to do with the Canaanites. He says, nor shall you make marriage with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. All right, pretty simple, isn't it? They're about to go into the promised land. You overthrow the Canaanites and you destroy their religion. You destroy their idols. You don't have anything to do with them. You don't intermarry with them because if you do that, then they're going to pull you into their idolatry. And if you don't know this, the idolatry of Canaan was Baal and Ashtaroth worship. Now then, let's summarize what we looked at so far. Number one, don't forget God. Number two, don't forget the Word of God. Number three, teach your children about God and His Word. Number four, do not have anything to do with the Canaanites and their false religions. That's what they had to do in order to prevent themselves from going into apostasy. The sad thing is, they did not do any of it. Everything he warned them not to do is exactly what they did. In Judges chapter 2 now, verses 2 through 3. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Chapter 2, 10 through 14. And when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, now, this generation he's talking about here is the generation Moses was talking to in Deuteronomy. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. You see, everything that he was warning them about, everything he told them not to do, they did. Everything he told them to do, they didn't do. Chapter 2:17. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked, and obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. All right. Now then, making the application. Remember the four lessons? One, don't forget God. Two, don't forget the Word of God. Three, teach your children the Word of God. Four, do not have anything to do with the false religions in Canaan. Now, what are the lessons for us today in spiritual Israel, the church? One, don't forget God just because everything's going comfortable in your life. Two, always be a student of the Word of God. I don't care how much you know. Keep studying. Keep learning. I'm a preacher. I've been a preacher for 40 years. I learn something new just about every week. Keep studying. Keep learning. Keep growing in your knowledge of the Bible. Three, if you've got children, teach them. If you've got grandchildren and they're at home with you, teach them. Teach them, teach them, teach them. Talk to them, explain to them what Christianity is and why it is you believe what you believe. They're not going to follow Christianity just because of you. It's got to be their faith that is what they believe and they know why they believe it. And four, we got to watch out for the false religions in the world around us. Let's go back now to the close of the sermon. Again, notice the verse and where it is. 2 Peter. Again, you remember the big picture I tried to show you? 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, Deuteronomy, the common denominator. All three of these men are about to die. All three of these men have worked diligently in the kingdom of God. And what they're doing is warning the next generation. Here in 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 2, Peter the Holy Spirit says, and there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing themselves swift destruction. All right, last part of the verse. And many will follow the destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. The warning that Peter gave to the church in the there and then, the very first century, that there were going to be false teachers among them, and that many were going to follow their destructive ways. And because of that, the way of truth, true Christianity, was going to be evil spoken of. Now, brethren, let's bring it down to where the rubber meets the road. To right now, today. We have members of the Church of Christ that are not spending time with the Word of God. We have multitudes of members of the body of Christ that are not teaching the children anything. Anything at all. And so as a consequence, they do not know what the Bible teaches. They do not know the truth. They do not understand true Christianity. And we are surrounded by all kinds of ideologies and philosophies in our world. And as a consequence, whenever they go out there in the world and they have no grounding, they easily absorb the religion of the country around us. You pick any doctrine, in the denominational world out there, and I can show you congregations of the Church of Christ that are practicing it and believing it today. You know why? Because they don't know the truth. They have forgotten the Word of God. They have not taught their children the Word of God, and they are all empty vacuums absorbing whatever it is they hear from any direction. And I hear multitudes of teachers that are friends of mine saying, over half of the people, the young people that are in the Church of Christ today, over half of them are going to leave God completely. We're not talking about going to some other aspect out there of religion. We're talking about completely, totally leaving God. Nothing. We are repeating Deuteronomy. We are repeating history again by forgetting God, by forgetting His Word, by not teaching our children, and then absorbing all the religion of the nation around us. That's exactly what's going on. So you see, brethren, there's some pretty good lessons in the Old Testament, aren't there? It's kind of amazing how information taught through Moses still hits us today and is applicable in the church and the Israel of God today. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening, though, who's not a member of the body of Christ, if you've studied the Word of God or read it or heard it preached, and you actually believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you really believe this. This is your faith. If you believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, be willing to openly confess that faith. And then motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, that is to follow the Word of God by faith in your life. And then by faith, submit to the command of our King and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. You will then be added by our King to His kingdom, a citizen in the kingdom of Christ, a Christian in His church, a member of His body. They're all saying the same thing in different ways. If you're already in the body of Christ, already a Christian, and you realize there's sin between yourself and your God that you haven't dealt with, you haven't repented of, we want to encourage you to have godly sorrow enough, to have a broken, contrite spirit enough to deal with it, to take the sin to your God, to seek forgiveness from your God, to turn from it. We'll pray for you. We as your brethren and family will pray with you. We really will try to do the best we can to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.